Hey, Larry.
It's been a long time.
It has been. Well, there was, you know, there were some dark times. There were some timey-wimey things at work.
It's the best description. You guys are responsible.
We lost some time into a couple different timelines. There were a couple of different resets. In the end, everything is fine. The moon is back to where it's supposed to be. That's all good.
That's good. I like the moon.
Yeah, I know. It's good. It's good where it is now.
It's my favorite celestial object.
There was a time when it was maybe a little bit closer, but let's not worry about that.
All right.
Let's not worry about those changes, because I think, like me and two other people, we're the old ones. Right?
Okay, I shall not dwell.
Yeah.
But I'm curious.
But you'd also be glad we got the good Casablanca this time.
That's good. I don't want to know about the bad Casablanca.
You do not.
With Ron Reagan.
Oh, God, yeah.
Anyway, so today I wanted to talk about. So we were having lunch the other day in the cafeteria. And we were talking about.
What were you having?
Meatloaf.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
the actual meatloaf.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
He was for lunch. He went down screaming, but it was delicious. So anyway, we were talking over meatloaf, you know, shows that we watched and stuff like that. And one of my coworkers, who works in a top secret project, one of my coworkers admitted he had never seen Star Trek.
What?
And by Star Trek, literally no Star Trek whatsoever.
I don't.
Not just the Kirk show.
So he's not a sci-fi person, is what you're saying.
Well, that's the only reasonable excuse,
right? He's not into sci-fi, fantasy, comic.
Well,
book.
he called it his secret shame.
That is a secret shame.
I am shocked that he's never seen Star Trek, Next Generation, or Deep Space Nine, or Voyager.
I am shocked by this entire turn of events.
I know. I of course dropped off Enterprise. Did not mention that one. But anyway, right. So it was a shocking turn of events that I don't think I shall ever let him forget.
No, you should not.
I might make a t-shirt. but
that says, ask me about Star Trek.
Ask me about Tribbles.
I don't know.
Well, the funny thing is, he says he knew Star Trek reference he makes is because other people did it for him.
Nice. He fakes his way through Star Trek conversations.
So, which makes me kind of wonder, do you have any secret shames, either in books or movies, comics?
Well, I mean, there are a few holes in my sci-fi speculative fiction library, personal library in my head. So, like, I've never read the Foundation trilogy.
Oh,
yeah. I read iRobot.
Okay, alright.
So Asimov, like the hard sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, never have.
Never have. Ringworld, nothing. I got nothing for you.
Okay, I'm
but
right.
I have read that, so obviously.
I am going to.
You are better than I. I'll let
our fans decide.
I don't know. But I don't know if those rise to the level of like shame, because I feel like that's pretty far down the nerd ladder.
I don't know if the Foundation.
I feel like Foundation is pretty far down there.
What do you think is above?
I mean, iRobot is definitely above. iRobot is more
Fahrenheit 451.
The works, anything by Ray Bradbury is like a kind of thing that people read in high school.
Dune. Have you read Dune?
I've read
at least
Dune.
The first book.
Yes, I did. It was a long time ago. I don't remember it well, but
okay,
I did read it. So yeah, I mean, I feel like Dune is further up, but I feel like once you get into like Asimov, Niven,
you know, like the big guys of science fiction, the Foundation people.
Asimov,
he's not for science fiction.
You get the three rules, and that's it.
You know what? Just watch the movie.
Oh, that movie. I do actually have a soft spot for that movie, even though it has nothing to do with the story at all.
Alan Tudyk.
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
And it has given me a line that I have used to multiple people. You might be the dumbest smart person I've ever met in my life. Because that's a good one.
That's cutting.
You've got to be the dumbest smart person. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like, because for me, like I've never read any Stephen King.
Really?
Not one.
Wow.
That's not true. I have read one Stephen King book.
What book?
On writing.
Oh, that's the one I haven't read. That's literally the only but almost the only Stephen King book I have not read.
I have never read it.
It's so good.
The what's the one? The guy, the thing on the cover. He's like dancing and like post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, they've the done Stand? Like
The Stand. I've seen the
miniseries. That's how you're. Oh, right, because right, the cover, the little Reaper guy. Right, yeah.
But I've,
little
but Gremlin I've, guy. I saw the
He's
Gary
not actually
Oldman.
In the book.
Oh well,
spoilers. That has nothing to do with the book.
But I have saw the Gary Oldman, not Gary Oldman, Gary
Sinise
miniseries,
which was an okay adaptation.
As far as I know, it was fine.
It was okay. The book that I was actually just literally talking to a buddy of mine about that book yesterday, and that is like one of the foundational books of my childhood.
I've never read it.
So good.
Have you read the version that? Because like every so often I see the copy, it's like we put in all the pages he cut.
Yep, I've read both versions. I slightly prefer the shorter version, though there is some really really great stuff in the longer version. But I do the shorter version is tighter, obviously.
Every single Stephen King book except his book about how to write.
So
I don't know, like. Is he a good writer?
He's a good writer. He's not a great writer.
You know,
his son is a better writer.
Oh,
in my opinion,
I own a couple of his books, but I don't feel shame that I haven't read them yet.
Yes, well,
because
they're very good.
Yeah, I have
Nosferatu.
Really
no, that is like a good experience for you would be to read The Shining and then read Nosferatu, because they are largely very, very similar stories.
Yeah.
Like, really similar stories, but very different and complementary, and it really shows, like, in which ways Joe Hill is a stronger writer than his father.
So, can I do this? Can I just rewatch the miniseries with Rob Lowe and Gary Sinise, and then read the book?
No.
Of Nosferatu.
No, you're talking about two different books. I didn't... The Shining... Not
oh,
this,
The Shining. I heard
Stand.
The Stand.
I may have said The Stand. I meant The Shining.
Okay. So I can watch...
You cannot watch the movie.
The TV movie with the guy from Wings.
You could.
That Stephen King...
But I don't know why you would want to do that to yourself.
King
I know, but I don't...
I have no shame about not saying that one.
But yes, neither do I. And I love that book, and I have no shame.
Yes.
Well, let's just take for a second, let's talk about, like, the concept of shame here.
Okay.
Because this is an interesting conversation, because there is, like, an unfortunate part of, like, nerd geek culture revolves around shame. I mean, it's part of the fake geek girl thing.
Which, and I did it to you when you said, I've never read the Foundation.
Right, yeah. Because
really, you should read the Foundation.
Sure, whatever.
At least the first book.
Maybe.
The second,
Then I'm not reading the Foundation trilogy. You're just saying I just need to read Foundation. Is that the first one?
Yeah.
Foundation and Empire, and then something?
No, because then you did a second trilogy, and I heard that's not so good.
But
I haven't read the second trilogy.
But see, like, I feel like it still comes from that time when nerddom was not the driving force of popular culture.
Yeah.
And
which I feel like we totally don't understand, that literally almost every tentpole film now, every major TV show.
Yeah.
Like,
there are four time travel shows on the air right now.
Yeah.
Four.
And some on network.
Yeah. And most of them are on network.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Almost all of them are on network.
I think they're all on network.
Yeah.
So let's... They're going to fail.
Yeah.
But...
There are two different television comic book universes.
Yes.
You know...
I mean, you might even argue there's at least three.
There's at least... one company has
Legion,
three of them.
Yeah, well, I'm saying, like, Legion...
Well, that's right. There's Legion...
Which is clearly separate from Agents
the
of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, the MCU has Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Daredevil, but those are sort of separate. And
I would definitely argue any of the Netflix shows
are separate, even if they take place in the same universe.
Yeah.
But then there's the DC television universe, but then there's also Gotham and Lucifer.
Yeah.
And so, so anywho, but I feel like the shame comes from that time when it was like, you had to go to, you know, your comic book store in some secret place and talk to people who only really understood the thing. And there was a bit of sort of like, you have to qualify to get into the club.
There was my first comic book store I ever went to. It was kind of like in this corner of a building, and you kind of step down into it.
Yeah.
And I remember the guy that owned the store, like the first time I went there, he had a cowboy hat on and a neck brace.
Oh my god.
And he just kind of sat there behind the counter. It's really weird.
That's so weird.
Yeah, it was very strange.
And yeah, it used to be that thing. Like, the comic book guy from The Simpsons used to be, like, the thing.
Yeah.
That was what you expected when you went into a comic book store.
What was the episode of the West Wing? Where, like, they're trying to find out if these Chinese immigrants are actual Christian. What is it, like, Shibboleth?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit... And so it's a little bit like that. Yep. If you haven't read this, then you're not really. If you've only read Batman, whatever. Talk to me when you've read Miracle Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I feel like that's where... But I have so little on that. Like, I just don't. There are a few things that I keep close to my vest.
Uh-huh.
I don't think I fake my way through a conversation about Foundation.
Right.
I'm aware enough to reference Ringworld.
Yeah.
But that's about it. I read a little Terry Pratchett, but not as much as I should. So I don't feel that bad. I mean, I feel bad because the Terry Pratchett I've read, I really like.
I actually do feel a little bad that I haven't read. I've never read any Discworld stuff.
Yeah, that's
And wait, there's a documentary recently on BBC about Terry Pratchett, and I've been watching that and like seeing all of these people. With such love and devotion to Discworld, it's like, and I've heard about it for years, and it's like, I really, really should read it. The good thing is, at least in the United States, it's not like there's a lot of people going, hey, have you read Discworld yet?
No.
You know,
it's
maybe if it was a Neil Gaiman book, like, there might be that.
But you
have read Sandman.
I have read Sandman.
We can remain friends.
Yeah, but the other really huge and massive hole that I definitely fudge my way around is fantasy. Like, I was never a D&D kid, or like vaguely a D&D kid, though I've been feeling the urge of getting into it. Partly, I go to a gym and there's lots of D&D references and D&D players.
Do you have to weight plus one
on occasion, yes.
Like roll a die.
That is yes. That's how my gym works.
Oh my god!
It's more like, you're doing this thing, and now we're gonna roll a die, and now you got to add 6 burpees.
Charisma plus 2. Fantasy is kind of mine too, because I have read Lord of the Rings and I have read The Hobbit.
Right now,
but that's kind of
I don't like The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I don't.
That's my biggest shame. I've read Lord of the Rings,
and
I do not like. I love The Hobbit.
I'm gonna go for that. I'm like, I don't love The Hobbit.
Oh god, I love The Hobbit.
I
love it. It makes me so happy.
I don't. I like. I mean, I guess of like a prior generation. You know, it's Tolkien and T.S. Lewis.
Right.
You know, I'm sure there is some other fantasy writer. I'm forgetting.
Yes.
But again,
people will let us know
because I have a hold. But like, you know, I have to admit I thoroughly enjoyed reading Lewis much more than Tolkien.
See, and I only ever read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I think I tried to read through the other ones and never really liked them.
I did read all of them, and they kind of get progressively like less interesting and more like
Christian-y.
Being as an excellent Christian as I am, I don't really recognize the Christian elements of it.
Right, he's good about that.
All right, whatever. But like it kind of became so embroidered that it's just like, you know, where Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe had a really strong narrative, like, you know, and those kind of like the last battle is kind of like, here's a parade of greatest characters we've ever seen in all of my novels, and like, you know, and Silver Chair, I have no memory. But like, Lord of the Rings, like, I had a friend that would read it every year, and I'm just
can't.
Like,
I don't know, I can't, like, I couldn't.
So I don't. I mean, I don't want to trash it. You know, I mean, I appreciate the man's labor in it, and I appreciate the fandom of it, but, like, it's not something, but it's not something I advertise, like, I don't like
Lord of the Rings. Exactly. But ironically, I love the movies.
The movies have faded for me.
The movies what?
They have faded for me.
Yeah, no, I still love them. I still think they're great.
But see, I guess, I don't know if I have any, I mean, we've obviously talked about Harry Potter.
Right.
In the past.
Which I remain shocked about.
That you remain shocked about. You've talked about Harry Potter.
I remain shocked that you still have not read Harry Potter.
But see,
as of this moment, you still have not read.
But Harry the Potter. Odd thing is, I feel no shame about
you
it.
You should feel massive shame.
Why should I feel shame about it? Because
it's wonderful. You should not even so much feel massive shame. You just feel like I'm missing something magical that will make my heart grow 3 sizes every day.
Says the man who hasn't read the Foundation trilogy. Beatles. That's all I got.
That's all you got. That's it. But yeah, I mean, the sword and sorcery, I feel like your friend there, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm familiar enough with the tropes that I can, like, make my way through it and, like, understand it. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I've read A Song of Ice and Fire.
Which I haven't, and I feel sometimes guilt, but then, like, well, I can just watch the show.
You can just watch the show. The book is good, but it is... And here's where my prejudice is going to come slipping out. One of the reasons I stayed away from the sword and sorcery fantasy is that I don't think they're often very well written. And they never look enticing. It's always like a cheap mass market paperback, and on the cover is some scantily clad woman with boob armor and an exposed midriff wielding a big sword on a mountaintop, and I'm always like, maybe not.
Maybe this is a mission for me. For you and I. Maybe this I think if we... Because like for some reason, Dragon Riders of Kern is coming to my mind.
I feel like I've read that one, actually.
I have not read.
I think I read it when I was 12.
If we seek out fantasy books written by women,
maybe
it would be a little less objectifying.
Maybe
a female.
Though it's not just that.
I mean, it's not something that I would have been aware of as a 12-year-old. But as an adult.
But I feel like it's one of the two things. Like it's either the skin-clad woman, or it's some like super pale-skinned, white-haired elf sitting atop some improbable beast.
Yeah.
Looking haughty and magical, and I was like, no.
See, for me, it's not necessarily the covers. I'm going to admit my prejudice against fantasy. It's when it's like the Elfendorfdrachen come riding in on the Brachetbogeboon, and they're wheeling the Rapadir.
Yep.
I'm just like, what are you talking about?
What's happening? I don't understand.
But then oddly, like when Technobabble on Star Trek happens, it's like,
totally. I'm totally fine with that.
You're collapsing the quantum shield.
Obviously. Right. You gotta reset the manifold, the plasma manifold.
Of course.
And all the APS circuits are blown. Obviously.
But I don't know if it's because they're making up words. Like,
I don't know.
Full on making up words.
I have the same sort of prejudice, because like one of the reasons I don't like Lord of the Rings as a book is that there are those long stretches of songs, and when I was reading it, and this is a timing thing. When I was a kid, I didn't really read it. I'd read The Hobbit and really liked it, and then when I tried to read The Lord of the Rings, it was a little too young or whatever, and it was like way over my head. Then I went back to it as an adult, but it was like around the same time that I was, like, deep in the Harry Potter books. And the Harry Potter books, partly because they're for kids, are so plot-driven. It is really, like, nothing... Like, there is not an inch wasted. If there is a thing that is brought up, that thing is going to come into play before the end of this
Chekhov
book.
Would be so happy.
Yeah, it's a machine that way. Yeah. And it's still... I still love it. So I would read... I'd read Lord of the Rings, and there'd be all these songs and all this history.
Yeah.
And then the other part of me was like, especially once you get past the Fellowship of the Ring, you get to the part where they're all split up, and I'd be just like, I don't actually care about Aragorn and all the things he's doing, because Frodo's got the Ring of Doom.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it.
Let's keep
our eye on the ball here. I don't really care. It's like pages and pages of Aragorn walking places, and I'm like, I don't give a shit. And so what's funny about all that, though, and funny about, like, in the end, my feelings about the fake history and all those songs and all of that, I own the huge coffee table book detailing the 600 years of history of Westeros. I have read it. I consult with it regularly.
Why would you consult with it regularly?
Because the questions come up. I have to remind myself who those people are, what's in relationship.
But when you say regularly, do you mean like Wednesday? I was totally thinking about Jon Snow.
On
like,
occasion.
Wait a minute.
This has happened.
Because the show is not even on.
This has happened to me. You hear, you're bumbling around the corners of the internet. You bump into some other new theory about this, that, or the other, and then you're like, oh. Well, wait. Does that work historically? And then you got to go look it up. You got to go see the citation. And this one, it's all made up. It is so much made up history. Yeah. I am super invested in that made up history, but I can't get behind Tom Bombadil.
Yeah, yeah.
And the songs of the whatever.
So, yeah, yeah.
No, nope, don't care.
So I should totally buy you a copy of the Silmarillion.
You should absolutely not. No, please never take me anywhere near the Silmarillion.
Yes, that one.
The Silmarillion.
Yeah.
See, at least I know how to pronounce it.
Whatever. I don't have to look up stuff about Westeros. I know Bran the Builder built the wall.
It's got and many other things, like Winterfell. There might be a dragon hidden under Winterfell.
Damn it, I meant Bob. Blew my own joke. Anyway.
No, you said it right.
I know.
You did it right.
I know that now.
You get a cookie. Well, not an actual cookie.
Metaphorical
cookie.
No cookies were eaten in the course of this podcast. See, I'm trying to remember. I'm trying to think about, like, comics that I feel
and
like...
And then I was just about to say that. With comic books, it's more that there are, like, periods I am utterly unaware of.
Yeah. Though, but are there periods that you're unaware of that you're like, oh, I really wish I did... know no. about that. Like, because, like, I feel no. like there's certain runs that I'm curious about.
Yeah. There are runs that, like, I'd like to go back. I mean, you know, I've been meaning to go back to the Matt Fraction Hawkeye run.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic. But I mean, even older. Like when, like, Frank Miller was doing Daredevil.
Right. Well, that's a good run.
Yeah. See, I don't know, but...
Oh, those are really good. It is dark.
Yeah.
That is one of the darkest comic books I've ever read in my life.
Yeah.
It is really... That particular comic was like... Who... Frank Miller.
Yeah, yeah.
Children read these. You know that children.
No one was reading Daredevil at the time. That was the reason why they wouldn't do it. Like,
my God, man.
But I'm trying to, like, I'm trying to figure out, like, what characters should, like, I'm not a big fan of Spider-Man.
Oh.
And I don't know, if I feel shame about admitting that. Like, it's not something I advertise, but, like, I never got on board with Spider-Man. Oh, like, it's just, like, it's okay.
I like the stealthy years. But again, it's also,
you know,
when you're first introduced to the guy. I don't know. There's no one, like, I don't feel anything like, I think
I read broadly enough in comic books that, like, there's nothing that I have, that, I don't feel like there's anything in comic books that I haven't read that, to kind of go back to be in the club, that I haven't read.
I feel the same way.
Obviously, like Watchmen and Sandman. And,
Watchmen, Sandman, you know, Preacher.
See, Preacher, I don't admit it often. I'm not a huge fan of Preacher.
I can see that. I'm a big fan, but I can see why people would not be. But you've read it.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. You've read it. You have an opinion. You can have a conversation.
I've kind of read at least certainly of mainstream stuff. But like, once you know, like maybe Mouse, but like Red Mouse.
Yeah, that's like, I'm with you. Same way, like, there are, you know, you wander down the little alleys. But for me, it's more that there's, like, chunks of thing where I am mostly unfamiliar with the majority of Superman's...
Yeah.
Any Superman story. I read the Man of Steel in 86.
Oh, yeah, the John Byrne one.
John Byrne one, and I read a little bit of Action Comics after that. But I can't recall a single, like,
I don't think there's
story
anything... There's nothing in Superman, as far as I can think of, there's nothing like... a Superman equivalent of the Dark Knight Returns.
Right.
Like, I feel like if you haven't read Dark Knight Returns...
Right, you
now,
don't...
Now, well, you shouldn't necessarily, I mean, there's... Shame, but it is a landmark comic.
But it's a landmark comic.
You know.
Comic.
Actually, let me... Go ahead, finish your thought.
But I was going to say, the closest that I... Like, the closest they tried with it, but it didn't stick because...
Yeah, nothing sticks.
Right, well, it didn't stick because in the end, you know, they visually... And for the film, cinematically, they chose someone who doesn't like Superman to make Superman movies.
Yeah.
And so, like, All-Star Superman should have been that thing. Anyone making a Superman movie that was like, oh, I want to tell a modern Superman story should have worked from All-Star Superman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's fantastic.
But instead, they just kept working from The Dark Knight Returns for Superman.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was an odd choice.
Yes, I agree. But, like, there's going to be a little change of
episode. Bring it up.
But, like, I think it's kind of going back to what you're talking about, like, you know, being allowed in the club.
Yeah.
And I thought about it as I was saying, oh, if you haven't read Dark Knight, you should. I don't think I would necessarily, even though I've seen you about not having read the Foundation Trilogy, that you should read the Foundation Trilogy, I don't think, like, I would necessarily make anyone feel bad about not having read it. Is, you know, I would be like, no, you totally need to read. Now, of course, the person who has never seen any Star Trek that person should feel shame.
You should feel shame. You should feel massive shame. Mm-hmm.
And you know who you are.
We are judging you.
But we love you. But like, but you know, but that person was like, well, you totally need to watch Trouble with Tribbles. You need to watch Trick
right.
2. You know, I don't know. Like I feel like there's,
I will say
is
this.
Is something that you should feel ashamed about?
I would say it this way. And this is, not to keep coming back to our friend. I think our friend gets a pass on this for various other reasons.
Yeah.
But if someone told me, oh, I'm really into comic books.
Yeah.
And then they were like, oh, but I've never read The Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah.
I would say I don't understand how you process comic books. I'm serious.
Yeah,
I think you can process science fiction without reading the Foundation trilogy.
Yeah.
You're maybe probably missing some things that were ripped off from it.
Yeah.
There's some ideas and I feel even with Star
Trek. The DNA of Foundations.
Yeah. And even with Star Trek, there's certain aspects of it that if you watch any other science fiction, you'll get the general thing.
Yeah.
And maybe not get how far it's ripped off from this, that, or the other.
Yeah.
But with comic books, if you haven't read Watchmen, The Dark Knight, Watchmen and The Dark Knight Returns,
yeah.
I don't know how you process modern comic books. Because those two books, changed.
Yeah.
I feel like those are just so, gravimetrically more influential.
Yeah, but I don't know. But I think it's a similar argument that if you have come into comic books, I mean, because, let's remember,
yeah,
Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen are, 30 years ago now?
Yeah.
Like, so the DNA, 31. The DNA of those are so tightly woven in it. Certainly every mainstream superhero comic lives in the shadow, but we're talking generations now.
True.
So I feel like if you're a 20-something or a 15-year-old who's reading comic books for the first time,
I feel like
they would process it and maybe come across it at some point. I think, you know, one of his old men would be all like, you should check this out, kid.
Right.
You know. But I feel like if I handed someone a comic book from 1980,
right,
it's like, you should check this out, I think that person would be like, what
why?
Is this?
Right, yeah.
It would be like us watching an episode of Columbo.
Right, exactly.
You know, be like, okay.
All right. Well, not Columbo. Columbo's great.
Just
one more thing. There's just one thing that's bothering me.
You know, someone recently was really in support of Columbo, and they explained it to me of why it works dramatically, but I still have a hard time going, I know who did it, why doesn't Columbo figure this out faster? You know,
he has figured it out. You're just watching. It's an interesting, it's a whole other conversation, but it's an interesting thing to put the onus of the escape on the criminal. That in a way, you're trying to see if the criminal is going to outsmart Columbo.
I have a heart, right? But it never felt like the few times
they're
I've
never
watched
gonna.
It, right? But it never, exactly. So it's never, but it never felt like they were two combatants. It always felt like here's the guest star, and here's Peter Falk.
Right, but
yeah.
that's the genius of Columbo. It's
anywho.
But then again, the other thing is Perry Mason, who's the world's worst lawyer.
I don't know. He always won.
Does he always? I can't remember.
He basically lost. He basically lost once or twice in the whole run of the original series. It's not that he's a bad lawyer. One can make a case that he's always up against a prosecution that's terrible. That you could possibly make as an argument. But Perry Mason.
Or there's a.
I loved Perry Mason.
A 1960s version of Law and Order.
Uh huh.
But in the end, the criminal always went free. And it was a failure because, they always had the wrong person. It was it does not speak well to our criminal justice system.
Or the writers, what were they thinking? But anyway.
I see what you're saying.
But I mean, maybe if you handed them, the 20-something who's into comics now because they got it from the movies and the TV show.
Right, but a 20-something is different than what I'm, I don't know, I still meet people who are, whatever, our age.
Yeah.
And in the sort of nerd sphere, and I guess it is just sort of assumed that they've read The Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen.
Yeah.
Because that's the kind of, that's more the person. Of course, if you're 20 and you're I really love Bitch Planet, then it's kid, let me blow your mind.
Yeah, yeah. But though I wonder, would Watchmen blow someone's mind after Bitch Planet? I mean, Watchmen's functioning in a different way.
Yeah.
But so many people have used the tools of Watchmen that were brand new. The idea of having supplementary material.
Right.
You know, somebody's novel or, yeah. or you know, whatever. Or the pirate comic book.
Right.
You know, like, so many people have used that device.
It's true.
After, like, would it, I don't think it would have the same kind of impact now.
No.
On somebody, but,
no,
like, but it is like reading a classic
still, yeah,
of a genre that you like.
It's still good.
Yeah, it's still good.
Solid.
It's still, yeah, it's
yeah.
still really.
I mean, it's not like.
It feels really, I mean, it is literature.
Yeah.
Watchmen, I would argue, is one of the first comic books I would call literature.
Yeah.
I would argue, and of course, I would certainly make that case for Sandman as well.
Yes.
But in a, but it wasn't pushing what a comic book could do.
No.
It was just telling a very literate story.
Well,
I
mean,
think.
I feel like some, I feel like parts of the runs of it, like, not as much parts of the runs, but individual issues of Sandman, of Sandman push the boundaries of, like, storytelling in comic book form. Like, there are some
can
very...
Can you think of an example?
Because
I feel like that...
I mean, the one that sort of, like, really kicks off what Neil Gaiman's Sandman becomes, the one where he hangs around with Death all day...
Okay.
Is one.
Okay.
There's
kind of
in Brief Lives, like,
yeah,
Brief
yeah.
Lives is, like, super all over the map in terms of its storytelling, in terms of how it uses plus.
That's the one where they're looking
for destruction. Plus visually.
See, I don't know, because I still feel like, you know, I mean, we're comparing Alan Moore and Neil Gaiman, like, what a world. but, like, because I feel like
yeah,
Watchmen
I mean,
really...
But yeah, it still exists sort of in the shadow of Watchmen.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That's,
I mean, I think every
yeah,
you know. But I don't necessarily because I feel like that at some point that person would be like, oh, because I feel like you could read Dark Knight and you could read
right.
Watchmen. I feel like Watchmen probably is still more effective than because I feel like since Dark Knight Returns,
yeah,
basically become like this is how you do Batman
exactly,
and
yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
I think,
everyone,
and
is.
I think it's only been in the past maybe 5-8 years that Batman's kind of recovered, come back from the,
yeah.
that very, very
yeah.
dark place. Because it's funny, because I started reading comics shortly after Dark Knight Returns came out. Like,
right.
So I didn't read it as it was coming out. I read it in trade after. And so I was reading Batman at the time. And at that time, the writers of Batman hadn't, like, what Miller was doing in Dark Knight Returns hadn't kind of affected
right. not until,
the main
not
core
until
titles.
Year one.
Yeah. But even, it still took, like, 5 or 6 years for the expectation of Dark Knight, the Batman scene in Dark Knight Returns
right, to
will be
filter,
the Batman
because,
in
I
the
mean,
main continuity.
In the main continuity then, he was still, I think he was still in the blue uniform?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Still in the blue and the gray,
blue
and it was
the
still the, like, the Dark Knight detective.
Yeah, yeah. And it was great.
You know?
I loved it. Like, and that, like, that's for me Batman.
Right.
The James Aparo Batman
yeah.
or the Bray Fogle.
Yep.
Like that era
Brave
Batman,
and the Bold.
Like that's Batman for me. You know, not I thought Dark Knight Returns was an interesting
right.
version, but not one I want to read every month.
Right. But then after yeah. But the other like the but the good thing about all that stuff is I think the key also into what makes it literature and what makes them great is that it's not embarrassing to read the way like reading Robert Heinlein is kind of embarrassing now. And I love Heinlein, but like, you read Starship Troopers or like some of that stuff and you're like, oh.
Yeah, I have to admit, okay, I've read Starship Troopers and I've read Moon as the Heart's Mistress and I almost finished Half Space for Travel.
I haven't read that one. Red Stranger in a Strange Land.
It's very, the Half Space for Travel, which is a great title, is one of the juvenile books
yeah.
and the dismissive juvenile, but like books that were written for
right.
young boys and girls. But like, I didn't have that idea that that's what Star Trek Troopers was. So when I finished reading, I'm like, this is kind of bad. You know, and I don't
right.
really admit it that very often. But I'm also a huge fan of the movie.
Yeah,
I love the movie. But like, yeah, oddly, I think with the things with Heinlein, I don't think he's talked about so much.
Yeah, no,
anymore.
he's definitely
you know,
that vogue has passed.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially
yeah.
because science fiction has moved so much more into hard sci-fi, and
yeah.
Heinlein is squishy.
Well, I would, but you should read Martin Moon as a Harsh Mistress.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's been
a
long time.
It's an interesting, given today's politics.
Yeah,
you know, it could be considered. It's not quite a libertarian book. I wouldn't
uh-huh.
go so far as to use the L word, but it has those leanings on it, and I do think. It's science of it, and it's science fiction. It's fairly real.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like The Expanse, real, but like, right. but it's literally it's trying to tell a different story.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think like any movies, like, well, we've got, you know, what do you think if someone hasn't seen 2001?
I give people passes on movies all the time. Movies you get a pass, because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Not everyone's taste is the same. Not everyone's, like, path into things is the same.
Yeah.
You're all right. Like, I definitely do not shame anyone about movies.
I haven't seen any Harry Potter movies except for the first two.
You just read the damn books already.
So, there are books that you shame people about.
Yeah, well, there are books that I shame you about. You are not people.
Oh, all right. No, I just, Harry Potter books will be there.
They will be.
Maybe
they
the world
will,
won't
they
be.
They will live forever.
Yeah, so I'm not... So it's fine, someday...
You should. They're just because they're good and they're sweet. And you not only someday, you are almost guaranteed to have to read them. You have a son.
Yeah.
That son will be 8, and that, eventually.
And that son is named Harry Potter.
But your son will be 8. And you will have to read these books to him.
I'm hoping.
And with him.
There'll be, like, some other...
No. There'll be nothing else.
All right.
In the same way that, like, you know, when we were kids, Wrinkle in Time,
That's
Lion,
true.
The Witch and the Wardrobe.
Did you ever read the sequel to Wrinkle in Time?
Yeah, I read all three books.
There's three books?
Are there three or four?
There's four!
Because it's A Wrinkle in Time, A Wind in the Door... I feel like there's one that I missed, and then there's a swift... Yeah, there are four books. It's a tetralogy. Oh. And I've definitely read three of them. I may have read four.
I had no idea.
And they're good.
I think I knew about a
They're really
one.
Good. I really... Actually, and like that last one, A Swiftly Tilting Planet...
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Is really good.
I love Wrinkle in Time. I reread it 10 or 15 years
ago.
Oh,
God, it's so good.
And it's still, like, when...
It's still good.
When Charles gets, like, the red eyes, like, it just still freaks me out.
Oh, my God. It's so great.
Making a movie.
I know. Very excited. Ava DuVernay. Ava DuVernay. Sorry. Sorry, Ava. Very excited.
Never hire Jay. You can't pronounce your name. Okay, hire Jay.
Okay, thank you. But yeah.
Because I'm
super excited.
She walked away from Marvel Money. No one has any power over her.
Ugh,
bless her heart. I'm trying to think, like, I don't know. I think it's an interesting thing, like, the idea of shame.
Yeah.
That, like, you haven't read this, you haven't seen this,
right.
and it's that same friend who we were throwing under the bus, like, you know, he pointed out, like, I haven't seen a lot of martial arts movies. Like, I've seen, you know, I've seen a couple of the Bruce Lee ones, and, like, some that I have no memory what they are, but, like, I haven't seen a lot of those, and, like, I think I would like them.
Yes, you would.
You know, but
you
I
know what's available? The Shaw Brothers. There's, like, 30 of them on Amazon Prime.
I can think. I have.
They're great.
I'll look it up. I can think. Here's another hole of my. I haven't read Stephen King. I have never seen I've not seen Friday the 13th.
Wow.
Part 1. Part 2. Part 3. Part 4. Part 5. Part 6. Part 7. Part 8. Part 9.
Wow. Which
part
you
11?
Saw?
So yes, I've seen.
You've seen 10. Jason in Space.
Jason in Space.
Because obviously,
I've never seen Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh my God, those are great.
I've never seen.
Oh man, you should see the first one because it's great.
Yeah,
and it's super fun. But then you could almost if you didn't want to do that, you could almost just skip like and watch the Dream Warriors because that is 80s-tastic and amazing.
Halloween.
Oh.
Never seen it.
Oh my God. Such a weird franchise. You honestly are okay with that.
Wait, I'm okay with not having seen Halloween.
Yeah.
Oh wait, here's another admission. A secret. This one is kind of like something I wouldn't advertise.
What?
But clearly I'm about to admit it.
You know this is being recorded, right?
Yeah. I don't think I've seen Evil Dead.
Wow.
I may have seen Evil Dead 2, but I've totally seen Army of Darkness.
Alright, then you're fine. If you've seen Army of Darkness, you're fine. Because, you know, the weird thing about Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 is that they are more like remakes than sequels.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, and most of the information that's important there is in Army of Darkness.
Yeah, so, but it's just like, I feel like I should have seen those.
Yeah, Evil Dead is a funky experience.
Yeah.
because it just lives in that. All those movies, like those three, like the first Friday the 13th movie, the Nightmare on Elm Street, and Evil Dead, live in this like very weird spot in sort of film history, because they're almost low budget indie dramas, and yet also obviously cheesy schlocky exploitation attempts as well. While being made by auteurs. It's very Roger Corman-y.
I think, I have seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I saw that like once. It's an unpleasant experience.
Yeah. But it's not, I guess it's speculative fiction because it's horror. But,
horror is a separate genre.
Yeah, yeah. But it's not.
It's maybe under the rubric.
Yeah, see, I feel bad that that's the real horror movie I've seen and not Friday the 13th.
Listen, and this is what I'm trying to tell you about. Friday the 13th, the very original one, is not that much better made than the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I want it to be less creepy, because Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
it's slightly less creepy. They're creepy, they're weird, creepy, salacious. I went to my buddy Christian, and I went to see Black Christmas and Silent Night, Deadly Night, right before Christmas. They were playing over here at the New Beverly. And Black Christmas is great.
Yeah.
That is a great movie that more people should see.
Right.
Oh, my God. Silent Night, Deadly Night is so schlocky and exploitation-y. And there, so many of those movies are that's all it really is.
Yeah.
All it really is are, excuses for 70s boobs to be exposed, and people to be murdered in semi-interesting ways with lots of fake blood and gore, and any of the sort of depth of the horror of humanity is gone.
Yeah.
You know? And Halloween is, and I say this with love, John Carpenter is one of the directors that I truly love in this world. Halloween is basically just a remake of Black Christmas with less sort of existential dread.
Oh, okay. Well,
you know.
There you go. And a William Shatner mask.
And, yes, and a great William Shatner mask.
So shame is bad. Let me say it. To shame someone is bad.
Shaming people is bad. Don't do it. Nerds, stop shaming people.
Yeah. If they haven't read something, buy a copy for them.
Yeah, buy a copy. Give it to them.
Yeah.
And if they say no, it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
You are not diminished.
It's okay if they haven't read Watchmen.
It's all right.
I mean, they should, but, I've never read,
I never read Jane Eyre.
I've never read Great Gatsby.
Oh, my God.
Don't shame me.
How did you get through high school?
We didn't teach it in high school.
What kind of high school did you go to?
A cool one?
Shut up. Oh, it's a great book. Oh, yes.
I'm sure it is, but it's a great book. I own a copy.
God damn it.
Well.
Anyway, shaming people is bad. Don't do it. Unless they haven't read classics of goddamn American literature. Call yourself an American. Anyway.
I read all of Gulliver's Travels, have you?
No.
Yeah.
I'm not a Brit.
Oh, shit, that's what I've been doing wrong. All right. Well, this ending is kind of become a train wreck.
All right,
until next time.
Until next time.
Thank you, Heidi, for making me sound good.
You're the best.
And if anybody has any secret shames they want to share on Twitter, DeepCutNerdPod.
Yep. Bring it.
Bye, kids.
Bye, everybody. Different road, I'm in the Milky Way. You want me down on Earth, but I am up in space. You're so damn hard to please. We gotta kill this switch. You're from the 70s, but